I know the destiny for every single person, every single believer in this room. It's the Apostle Paul wrote it in Romans chapter 8. He said that those that God foreknew, he predestined them to be conformed to the image of Christ. Is that right? So what's your destiny? You're going to have to forgive me. Most of my ministry, I was a children's pastor. I'm used to working with kids, you know, and when I ask something, they usually responded. So I don't ask questions and expect you just to sit there and go, what's interesting? No, I expect you to respond, okay? We're going to go on a journey this morning about being conformed to the image of Christ. So the real question is, if we're supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ, what is the image of Christ? Now, I pondered this because, you know, I'm asking myself that question. If I'm supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ, I want to know what that looks like, right? So I can at least work on it. And the more I studied and looked at the life of Christ, there was one thing that stood out about his life more than anything else. And that was, he followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now think about that. He only spoke the words that the Father gave him. He didn't say, I do my works. He said, I do what? The Father's works. And in order for him to do that, it all started down at the river with John the Baptist. Look at Luke chapter 3 at the end, and what do we find out? We find that Jesus went down to the river, he got baptized in water, and then what happened? The Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, right? Now, we all think, well, wasn't that nice? We expect that. He's the Son of God, of course. No. Jesus was a man. He was a human being. 100% human and 100% God. But he had set apart his godly powers and authorities and attributes to be found humbly in the form of man. He would live his life as a man, not as God. Every miracle that he did as a man full of the Holy Spirit, not as God. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Listen carefully to what it says. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit. Hello? Being full of what? The Holy Spirit. Was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness where the devil was waiting for him. That wasn't so pleasant, that part of it. But notice this, he was full of the Spirit. He was being led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. And if children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. You see, Jesus is our example in all things, even in being full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus just didn't go about doing whatever he wanted to do. He did what he was led to do. You know, Jesus used to teach in the temple, right? So where was he at in the temple? The temple was a pretty big compound. Well, he told the story about the widow giving her offering in the offering box. Remember that? Little two coins. Where did that take place? Well, the temple had an outer courtyard. Anybody's allowed in the outer courtyard. But to go into the temple proper, you had to be a Jew. They actually had signs up around it saying, any non-Jew who enters or crosses this line will be executed. Okay? They're pretty serious about that. So you'd walk up 13 steps through a gate called Beautiful, and you would step into the courtyard of the women. Now, everybody who's a Jew is allowed in the courtyard of the women. Men, women, children. Guess where the money box is? In the courtyard of the women. If you walked across the courtyard of the women, up the steps, through the gate Nicanor, you go into the courtyard of the men, or the courtyard of the Israelites. If you go beyond that, you hit the courtyard of the priests, go up the steps into the holy place, keep going to the other end of the holy place, and you hit the Holy of Holies. So you see there's this progression into the temple. But Jesus used a stop there in the court of the women, so everybody had access to him, and he'd sit and he'd teach. So what's the big deal? Why is this so important today? Well, remember what I said? He had to walk up the steps, and he went through the gate. Beautiful. Later on, we find out that there is a lame man who's placed on the steps leading into the gate. Beautiful. Day after day after day, year after year after year, everybody knows him as the beggar or the layman at the gate. Beautiful. Why didn't Jesus heal him? He had to have passed by him. Why didn't he heal him? Jesus feeling ornery that day? Jesus didn't like the look of his face? He wasn't feeling love? Well, I've already given you the answer. Why didn't Jesus heal him? The Spirit didn't lead him to heal him. Whoa. Think about that for a moment. You know, we feel compelled to pray for everything that walks, talks, breathes, including our pet animals. Yes, I've been known to do that. I love my dogs. Okay? I also pray that I catch fish when I go bass fishing. Okay, so I guess I'm not feeling too much love for the fishies. But anyhow, you see, we pray and we expect God to do things when God didn't ask us to pray for that person's healing. When we are led by the Spirit will lead us to whom God wants us to lay hands on and pray for, and they will recover. Amen. Why? Because God wills it. His Spirit leads us. What the Spirit leads you to do will happen. What your flesh leads you to do probably won't. See, this goes to witnessing. Now, I doubt if there's more than two or three people here that had the audacity to go knock on doors and witness to people. Why? Because we're all chicken. Okay? Not only that, we've tried it and we didn't succeed. Therefore, we are gun shy. We say, it's not my ministry. It's not my thing. No. You're in the flesh. You see, only a few people are called to indiscriminately witness to everything. But if you're full of the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, you don't have to go look for people to witness to. God will bring them to you. Amen. Hear me now? And this is the important thing. When that person, you find yourself talking to someone and suddenly you feel a little urging inside to share with them. That's the Holy Spirit. It's being led by the Holy Spirit. The person's heart is prepared for what you have to say. Now, what are you supposed to say? Well, if you're like most people, you say, listen, the Bible says that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And the Bible says that if you don't repent, you're going to die and go to hell. And I'm here to pray with you the sinner's prayer so that you can be saved. Wrong. Is that your testimony? What is your testimony? It's your testimony. That's right. I mean, it's a rhetorical question. It's almost ridiculous, okay? What is your testimony? It's your testimony. It's what God has done for you. If you sit there and start quoting scripture and trying to argue them into the kingdom, they're just going to argue back. Because there's a lot of interpretations and there's a lot of different ways of looking things. You got the Mormons, you got the JWs, you got all these different people with their opinions. And they're going to look at you as just another person with another opinion. But when you tell him, I was sick, I was in the hospital on my deathbed, and the pastor came and prayed for me, and suddenly something happened to me. My body felt different, and I recovered, and I walked out of that hospital feeling better than I ever did before. And they're going to be looking at you like, oh, no, really? They may or may not believe it, but they can't argue with it. You see, this is not a theological question. It's what happened to you or to a family member. In other words, a testimony is something that you are directly connected to. Nobody can argue with your testimony unless they look you in the face and call you a liar. Now, why is this so important? Well, the power of the gospel is in the testimony, in the witness of the saints. Revelation 12 says that the saints overcame the devil because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You see, if you're not being led by the Spirit, you're not believing for miracles, there's no testimony in your life. Right. Nothing's happening. No wonder you don't have anything to share with the lost. So Jesus was being led by the Spirit. We all know Jesus was crucified, died, resurrected from the dead. We know that there was Pentecost. Now let's look at a couple of characters that went through Pentecost. Peter and John. You gotta love Peter. The guy is all over the place. You know what I'm saying? If you follow his life and career in the Bible, it's like, this guy is unstable. You know? I mean, you wonder if he's ever going to make it to the end of the line. We know that he denied Christ. In other words, he chickened out. But before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said this. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses. He did not say you will be his preachers. Right? You will be his witnesses. This is the cool thing. Day of Pentecost comes, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Even Peter, what a rascal. A day or two later, Peter and John are going up to pray, going up to the temple. And as they're walking up the temple steps, they see the lame man, the guy that Jesus has walked past. Matter of fact, it's the guy that they've walked past because they were with Jesus when they went into the temple. Everybody knows him. He's the lame man at the temple gate, beautiful. But something happens. They feel a little tug of their spirit this time. Instead of walking past him, they stop and they say, look at us. The guy says, silver and gold I don't have. Go on then. I want you to listen very carefully to the next few words. I've read this story. I told this story in kids' church. I've preached this story at least 100 times or more in my life. And I missed the importance of it. The words that Peter said are very specific. He said this, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Why is that so important? Anybody here want to take a guess? What's that? Very specific. Specific to what? To what Jesus? Which Jesus? In other words, Jesus is a common name. But when they said in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, this is very, 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 very specific. There's only one of him. And when they said in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk, grabbed that guy's hand and lifted him up and he started walking, pandemonium ensues. Okay? The man is healed. 3,000 men, plus who knows how many women and children, got saved that day. Do you know there was a bigger revival because of that miracle than there was on the day of Pentecost? Okay? Well, we know what happened. Peter and John get arrested. Next day, they're before the high priest, the Sanhedrin, and all the high mucky-ups. And they're trying to figure out what's going on here. So they ask a question. In whose name or by what authority was this miracle done? Now, a man's power and authority ends with his death. When Caesar dies, does he have any more power or authority? No. Who, the next Caesar picks up the power and authority, and he now wields it. So at the moment that Caesar dies, you could say in the name of Caesar, nothing's going to happen because no one's going to respond because Caesar's dead. He has no power to make the things happen. Only the new Caesar has the power and authority. And when they asked by what power, what authority this took place, and they said it was in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, who we saw alive, it is in his name that this miracle took place. There's no argument. Now think about that. There's no argument that this Jesus whom they crucified is alive. Why? Because in the name of a dead man, supposed dead man, this incredible miracle took place. You see, Jesus could have healed the lame man and it would have been good. But when he was healed some 50 days later or so, he waited another 50 days. And his miracle became a testimony that Jesus Christ was alive. Are you following that? You see, folks, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. The precursor to being led, one must first be full. Correct? In other words, if you're not walking empowered and full of the Holy Spirit, how can you be a child of God? If you're not walking full of the Holy Spirit, how are you being conformed to the image of Christ? You see, as we walk in the Spirit, we learn faith. As we walk in the Spirit, we learn love. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Right? Go through them. And the greatest of these is what? Love. Why? God is love. If you're not full of the Spirit, it is hard to have the love of God inside of you. See, it's the conforming process. I got news for you. Your entire purpose of life, entire purpose, for one thing, to be conformed to the image of Christ. Now, talking to our video guy here before service, the guy's pretty brilliant, okay? You know, he's telling me about the stuff, how he's got the video stuff hooked up, and he's doing it for about a third the cost, and I can do it. I'm pretty impressed, okay? Brilliant. And as impressed as I am, I have one question. Does any of that apply in eternity in heaven? No, it doesn't. See, my first term as a missionary, I produced children's television shows. I'm pretty good. A little bit of an expert on the subject. I'll tell you more about that in a minute, maybe. But producing kids' TV shows doesn't translate into heaven. My artistic skills, my engineering skills, all the skills I spent a lifetime acquiring, none of them apply to heaven. I was in Africa. I hate to admit this. I sound so carnal when I admit this story, but it's true. I'm in Africa. I'm out among the tribals with the Maasai. The Maasai live in a very primitive situation, it's not really mud, it's cow manure. They drive sticks in the ground, intertwine twigs through them, and they mush cow manure into it to form the mud walls of their little huts. Thatched roof, no running water, no electricity, okay? Very primitive life. And I'm looking at these Christian women who had gotten saved through a miracle, and they're worshiping God. You know, there's chickens running around. and they're uneducated, you know, they're illiterate. And I'm thinking to myself, I compared myself to them. God forgive me. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about the books I've written, you know, the theology courses. I'm thinking about all this stuff I've done, all of my expertise, all of my skills, my computer skills and, you know, TV skills and life skills. And I'm just going through all these skills and I'm saying, how does God, I don't get it. And God asked me the question. All your stuff, does it make any difference in heaven? I was embarrassed to say, no. Then God revealed this to me. He says, that woman can be conformed to the image of my son Christ. Her character, her faith, you see, her love, those are the things that translate into eternity. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, your wealth, your IQ, or anything else. Doesn't matter what your profession is. It doesn't matter if you're a garbage hauler and everybody looks down at you. It doesn't matter what you do, what you are. It's what Jesus is doing inside of you. Are you being conformed to the image of Christ? The only way that's going to happen is being full of the Spirit. See, each day when we get up, our first prayer should be, God, lead me by your Spirit today. My second prayer is this. God, I want to be like Jesus. Be gentle. Now think about that for a moment. Those who he foreknew, he predestined them to be conformed to the image of Christ. You know what that means? You don't have a choice. If you're going to become a child of God, you will be conformed. I sound like the Borg from Star Trek for a moment there. But you don't have a choice. You will be conformed. It can either be the easy way or the hard way. You're the one who chooses. If you find that you're constantly crying out to God in pain, grief, sorrow, and agony, and you think all of my life I'm going through hell, well, maybe that's what's necessary to get you to conform. Now, I'm not saying if you're having hard times, you're an evil, wicked person. No, I'm not saying that at all. We all go through hard times. None of us, I guarantee you, none of us, you know, can get away without it. But we need to be walking in the Spirit. And, you know, the Spirit sometimes leads us to do crazy things. I told you I produced TV shows. Well, there's a story about how I got there. See, I was a kids pastor. And on Sunday nights, I had about 60 kids by myself. Sunday morning, Wednesday nights, I had a complete kids team. But Sunday nights, I had the kids all by myself. And this was the days, in the old days, when you had no idea when Sunday night service was going to let out. Some of you remember those days, you know? You came with a lunch bag with snacks and everything else because, you know, you might miss two or three meals on a Sunday night during service time. And so I had the kids by myself, and I would do my memory verse, my song service. I'd do all the stuff necessary, and I'd look at my watch, and I'd go, no parents, and I'm out of stuff. So I'd sit on the edge of the stage, and I would say, who wants to hear a story? Kids would raise their hand. Of course, the problem was I didn't have a story for them. So I said, what do you want to hear a story about? And they'd call out things, cowboys, spacemen, dinosaurs, little pink ponies, you know. And I would try to make up a story with all the things they told me they wanted to hear. Well, although you all are very polite and gracious and kind, little children are not. Okay, I could stand up here and bore you for the next 20 minutes, and you'd look at your watches and you would go, he'll be done soon. And you put a fake smile on your face. Not so much with little kids. You lose their attention, pow, they're tearing the building down. And so by looking into their face as I told stories, I began to learn how to tell stories that they could relate to. Week after week, month after month, year after year, for 10 years, I had my little flock of sheep, and I'd be telling them stories. Now, there's another man in the Bible who had a flock of sheep. We all know his name, David. Sheep are stupid. They eat, they drink, they sleep, they pee and poo, and they make more sheep. That's it. Okay? Boring. Can you imagine a hyperactive teenage boy getting stuck watching the sheep? First thing in the morning, he takes them out to pasture, and while they're eating, he's picking up stones, putting them in his little sling, and he's slinging rocks. Hundreds and hundreds of rocks he'd sling every day. Tens of thousands of rocks he'd sling every year. He didn't realize it. God was preparing him for a divine appointment. Right? One giant, one rock, one throw. When he went out to face a giant, do you think he was afraid he was going to miss? The giant's a big thing. That's easy to hit, man. He's been slinging rocks for years and years and years. He's an expert. He didn't realize it, though. All of those years spent with the sheep was preparing him for one divine appointment. I flew over to Brussels, Belgium, and to check out the TV studio there called International Media Ministries. They had produced a kids' TV show. It was supposed to be for elementary age kids. I watched the show, realized they had missed their target audience. Their show was more for preschoolers. Being the young, arrogant know-it-all that I was, I gave them my opinion. Unsolicited as it was, and flew back home. A week later, I get a phone call from them. And they said, you know what, we agree with you. We missed our target audience. What would you do differently? How hard do you think it was for me to spin up a story on the spot? Easy. I did it without even trying. Why? Because I've been doing it for a decade. You know what I'm saying? I grabbed a few elements from their original story, began to add pirates and stuff and rock robots and chaos and junk. And the guy on the other end of the line went silent. He said, thank you, Rob. Hung up. Week later, he calls me back. And he says, Rob, we love your idea. Would you write the story for us for our kids' TV show? Well, eventually, I wrote the story. We helped produce the puppets. Ron and I became missionaries, flew to Belgium. Okay, this church supported us when we were over in Belgium. I got a praise report for you. Those TV programs have been seen by 500 million people worldwide. And they're all packed with the gospel. TBN is still broadcasting them to this day. I just found out that Uncion Television Ecuador is still broadcasting them. In other words, the point I'm making is that sometimes God leads you to something that seems small and insignificant. Okay? And we think that we are better than that. We think that the little thing that we do in church, I'm an usher, how important is that? I don't feel like going to church this morning. They'll understand, after all, I'm just an usher. Or I'm just a nursery worker. Or I'm just whatever. What does the Bible say? If you're faithful in little things, he will put you in charge of much. Sometimes you have to be faithful in the little things to prepare you for one giant, one rock, one throw. I came back to the United States, went back to work at Faith Orlando, was the executive pastor there, church of 4,000 or 5,000. And I was given the task of relocating the church to a new campus. So we bought 100 acres. I designed a new facility. And day after day after day, I would drive out to the property with my little notepad, and I would walk through the whole property, writing down notes so I could talk to the builder so he could fix anything that we found was being done inappropriately. It was November. We were about 8 months away from moving in. Now remember, this is an 8-year project of mine. I'm the executive pastor of one of the largest churches in Florida and one of the largest missions-giving churches in the United States. He might say, I sort of achieved, I had arrived. I'm enjoying it. Got a little bit of fame. Got a little bit of prosperity. I'm making good money, you know. I mean, I'm a big dog, right? And, you know, I'm at the point where I'm looking into the near future of retirement, and I'm thinking, life's good. Stash away some money, retire in style. So I'm standing on the third floor of the office building. There are the executive offices. The senior pastor, Carl Stevens' office, is going to be right here. Mine's going to be right next to it. And I'm looking there daydreaming, thinking about my office, how am I going to decorate it, and how great it's going to be. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me. Rob? Yes, Lord? You'll never move into that office. I rebuke that spirit! I'm at my point of achievement. I'm arriving. And you want me to leave? And the Holy Spirit would not release me. And I try to live by being led by the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit led Rhonda and I to leave Faith Assembly and go back into world missions as missionaries. We finished building the church. I made sure it was done, complete. We moved everything from the old campus to the new campus, got the video and the audio, got all the systems up and running, and then 30 days later was my last Sunday. Took a 50% cut in pay and became a missionary. Wow. 6 months later, I've just begun itinerating, and they had district council at Faith Orlando. And here we are Tuesday night, which is missions night, and I'm back inside the sanctuary. We've had a great mission service. But I'm not there as the guy who designed the building. I'm there as a lowly missionary in the midst of all the other missionaries. So I'm standing down here on the floor, okay? Right over here during the altar call on this side. And I'm standing there, and I'm worshiping, but I'm feeling a little melancholy. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm looking around the room. You know, I'm not being very spiritual. I guess I had my eyes open. And the Holy Spirit said, Rob,
yes?
Getting a little gun shy when the Spirit speaks. And what I'm about to tell you is exactly how it happened. The Holy Spirit said this to me. Rob, you've given up all of this. Ask me for anything, and I'll give it to you. Now, I've already told you I'm carnal. The very first thought that went through my mind was red Ferrari. That's what I thought. And then I started laughing at myself, and I said, God, even if you gave me a red Ferrari, I don't make enough money to pay for the insurance on it. So now I'm having this humorous conversation with God. I'm laughing at myself. And I thought, well, God, you've called me to be a missionary. I need a budget raised. And I says, no, wait a minute. No, you called me. It's your job to provide. Right? So I'm standing there and I'm pondering. Now, what I haven't told you is that God had called me to go back into missions to work with illiterate people. And come on. I've gone from television production for people around the world to working with people living in villages who can't read or write. And while I'm standing there going through this in my mind, I remembered the song we had sung earlier that night, which quoted a verse out of Psalms which said, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as an inheritance. And I said, Lord, I don't know how you would do it, but if I could have anything, anything, in the years that are left to me, in this call you've called me to, give me the nations. Now that was arrogant. But on the other hand, if the King of all kings says, what do you want? You know, don't settle for a Big Mac and fries. Go big. He's big. He can do it. Therefore, ask him for it. Where is your faith? I had no idea what I was asking. There are 6 million villages on the planet Earth. Around 3.5 billion people. They're the most underserved population in the world when it comes to having churches and access to the gospel. Someone goes to Bible college, gets a degree, they don't want to go live in a village. They want to live in a city where they can get a salary and have air conditioning maybe, electricity at least. They don't want to go live in a village. So I find myself in India. Long story how I got there. I'm with this district superintendent, and we're driving down the road. Hilarious but true story. We're in this little teeny car. I mean, it is smaller than a VW bug. All right? We're all cramped up. We're driving down their interstate, 6 lanes, at 50 miles an hour. And he's driving sort of in the fast lane. When I say sort of, he's in the fast lane, I'm in the middle lane, because he's straddling the dotted line. Now, it's India, and so I'm thinking, well, you know, here traffic laws are more suggestions, so okay. Cars and trucks are racing by us, horns are honking, pop, 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 pop. And you have to understand, Dr. Marcus Devasheyam looked like Mr. Magoo. Little old guy, white hair, you know, big thick glasses. And we're puttering down the highway, 50 miles an hour, straddling the dotted line. Sometime later, I learned that Dr. Marcus had cataracts. Could not see. He was straddling the dotted line because I think out of his peripheral vision, he could see the dots going by, and he figured as long as he could see the dots, he wasn't running us off the road. When missionaries ask you to pray for us, we mean it. I think there was 2 angels in there, one on each side sort of swatting the car back and forth to keep us on the road. We ended up out in the jungle at a village, and he says to me, he says, Rob, he says, 30 years ago I had a revival, planted a church here. The problem is no one could read or write. I left them a Bible, but they couldn't read it. They cherished it, but it didn't help. I had to go back day after day, week after week, month after month. I'd sit with the elders in the community, and I would begin to mentor them and disciple them so that they could pastor themselves. And then he said the devastating thing. He says, you know, Rob, I'm old now. No, I can't do it anymore. And no one else is willing to. Suddenly, I had a divine appointment. All of my life experience, computer, cell phone, mobile, television production, it all came together in one moment. And I'd like to show you with this quick video what God laid on our hearts. Something that has never been done anywhere else in the world. We're working in Africa, India, Indonesia, Bangladesh, soon Nepal. We're working in Latin America, the Middle East, in Arabic. I had no idea what God was calling me to do. But remember this, when you're led by the Holy Spirit, you don't need the GPS in your phone to tell you where you're going. You just follow the instructions that the Holy Spirit leads you to. And if you're faithful, He'll lead you to divine appointments. Divine appointments that'll change other people's lives. Divine appointments that might change a community or a nation or the world. You know, going to Bible school is a very expensive proposition. An entire year of the Oral Learners Bible Institute on that micro SD card, an entire year tuition is $8. Eight, which is the cost of a micro SD memory card. This is not a Rob thing, it's a God thing. And you say, wow, You've had a lot of God things happen in your life. Yeah, I have. Well, God doesn't do those things in my life. Are you being led by the Spirit? See, don't expect God things to happen in your life if you're not actively pursuing being led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. And here we are on Pentecost Sunday as we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Some of you might say, well, I'm already filled with the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues. Okay? Is there any power in your life? Well, no, but I speak in tongues. Paul teaches that speaking in tongues edifies you, the person who speaks in tongues, right? Pastor Johnny Wilson at Faith Orlando gave an example a few weeks ago that is the best example I've ever heard in my life on the power of the Holy Spirit. See, when we speak in tongues and pray in tongues, it edifies us. It builds up our spirit, right? And it's like these bodybuilders that beef up and they go and stand in front of a crowd and the judges and they pose and they flex their muscles and they're just ripped all over the place. They look good, but are they doing anything? See, when you have the power of the Holy Spirit, it's more like the strongman competition. The strongman competition, if you look them up online, it's hilarious. These guys are not pretty. They don't look all beefed up like the bodybuilders. These guys are huge, okay? And they're out picking up monstrous weights and rolling them and throwing them and doing stuff with them. Other words, if you're just speaking in tongues, you're that pretty bodybuilder who's full of this, but not full of that. And God has called you to this. Well, I'm afraid. The Holy Spirit will fill you with boldness. Hear me? Yeah, but I don't know what to do. That's all right. The Holy Spirit will lead you to it. What did Jesus tell? What were the disciples taught? Don't worry about what you're going to say when you're hauled up in court. The Holy Spirit will give you the utterance. He will give you what to say. Don't worry about being afraid to witness to someone and share the gospel with someone. When the time comes, if you're being led by the Holy Spirit to that specific person, the Holy Spirit will lead you to give the testimony that that person needs. If this body will be led by the Spirit, you'll double and triple in size in the next year. Next year, this time, you'll be in multiple services. And you'll be full. Why? You're being led by the Spirit to the people who are hurting around you. Jesus wants to meet their needs. It's not Pastor Josh's responsibility to meet their needs. It's yours. You are the body of Christ. You should be full of the Holy Spirit. You should be led by the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to wrap up with a very simple challenge to you. Hand it back to Pastor. If I polled the house right now, most of you, or many of you at least, would say that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptized in the Holy Spirit is a single experience. The question is, are you emulating Christ, who, being full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Holy Spirit? Because remember, if you claim to be a child of God, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. As Pastor comes, let's just take a moment, bow your heads. I want you to search your heart. I want you to ask yourself the hard questions. Are you full of the Spirit? If you're not, that's the first thing you got to rectify. If you say, yeah, I believe I'm full of the Spirit, then you have to answer this question. Are you being led by the Spirit?